Nothing can stop me now.
From the Command Center, Episode 5. Welcome to episode 5 of From the Command Center, the audio edition. I'm Scotty Cash, and joining me from the Geekcast Radio Network is TFG1 Mike. What's going on, bud?
What's going on, dude?
Not much. How you been?
I've been all right. A buddy of mine, he has lost interest in Masters Classics, but he still has the 2011 subscription, so I just buy whatever figures I want from him. And I got in Catra and Panthor this past week.
Nice.
Yeah, very, very cool. Skeletor finally has somewhere to sit.
Yeah, a lot of people, is your Catra all damaged?
No, as far as I can tell, she's not. I don't really care for the soft hands.
Right,
It's a little weird on an action figure for me. But unlike the rest of the Pop Culture Network, I love Transformers, and he also sent the Hyper the E-Hobby Takara Tomy Transformers United Decepticon 3-pack of Clear, Cyclonus, Galvatron, and Scourge, and wow, these things are awesome.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you what, you saying I hate Transformers, I sure did buy Rodimus Prime with the Matrix about a week ago.
No, wait a second. I need to clarify. I didn't say Scotty Cash hates Transformers. I said the rest of pop culture.
Oh, I gotcha. Actually, they just don't collect Transformers. It's not that they hate
it. And that's fine. You know, a lot of us don't collect Legos, so.
Yeah, screw Legos and screw Damien. I would like Legos, too, if they weren't so easy to lose.
Yeah, that's true.
His basement. What he says is not a joke. When you walk in his basement, it looks like a back room to a Lego storage unit, you know what I mean, or whatever. It's just like, you're like, really? This is like, you know, he could have a yard sale and make, you know, I don't know, $10,000 off his freaking Legos. Easily. I mean, he just has so many, and he has the expensive ones too. It's not like he just has, like, you know, the $19 ones. He, you know, he goes out and spends, you know, the $200-$300, and, you know, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. The other thing is we're coming up to a lot of really, really, hopefully great cartoons that are coming out over the summer, unless Cartoon Network decides to screw with them, because I just, through the World's Finest, worldsfinestonline.com, they posted a news story today about Batman Brave and the Bold and Young Justice getting pushed back again for new episodes, and I absolutely hate Cartoon Network for doing crap like this. This is why shows don't succeed, because of that.
And they move they're good about moving their time slot. They do that too.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, it's on Saturday. No, it's Friday.
Yep. You know, there are good ways to make a remake, and there are bad ways to make a remake or a reimagining of a cartoon. The Thundercats cartoon looks awesome.
Hopefully.
When I saw the Voltron thing, I'm like, oh my god, what the hell have they done? First of all, the lead guy, I don't know who the voice actor is for the lead guy, he's hamming it up. I hate that.
Is there a new trailer, or is it the same one there's only one, right?
Yeah, it's the one I linked to you in Skype, I believe. Yeah, it's this one here, basically.
Okay.
He basically hams it up and says, oh, you know, he goes through the whole thing of intercells and all that stuff, goes through the old, you know, the old saying of how to form Voltron. And it just, it sounds horrible to me. It just, the animation, the combined animation between the 2D and the 3D looks horrible.
Stupid. Yes.
The lions don't even look like lions. They look like half lion, half wolf. I mean, it just doesn't look right.
Yeah, I didn't even realize it until intern Rick pointed it out, but absolutely, he was like, yeah, well, what'd you think about the 3D? And I was like, what are you talking about? Because I watched it once on my phone. It was like cutting in and out, so I rewatched it again, you know, and I was just like, oh, yuck.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to do 2D, do 2D. If you're going to do 3D, do the 3D. Don't combine them. That's lame.
Yeah, I know. And yes, we realize that this is a Power Rangers podcast, and I'm coming back around to that.
Let's go ahead and get started on that.
Yeah, well, you've been on vacation, so that, I'm assuming, was fun as hell, and I'm sure you didn't want to come back from vacation.
I was actually ready to come back, but it was definitely enjoyable. The children's were left in my hometown, so it was like I had no worries. All I had to do was worry about eating or waking up or, you know, being at the rehearsal and the wedding on time, and that's it. All the other time was just whatever I wanted to do. Well, you know, I ate Chick-fil-A 3 or 4 times. I had IHOP, you know, a couple times. I was drunk throughout the weekend, and then, you know, it was just kind of sitting on the beach with my wife and my buddies, and it was just a good time, and, you know, there was no worries, so.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but there was no toy stores anywhere, though, because I was, like, going to the shops, and I was like, there are toy stores? And they're like, what's a toy store? And I was like, what are you talking about? And then the guy at the surf shop told me that there was Toys R Us right up the road, so I start driving up this road, and I'm driving for, like, 15 minutes, and I'm like, where is this freaking Toys R Us? So I Google Maps it, and it's still, like, 45 minutes away, and I'm like, really, right up the road, you douchebag? So I was just like, no, I'm not driving an hour and a half to Toys R Us.
Getting into some samurai talk, what did you think of the latest few episodes? Have you been able to catch up?
Oh, no doubt, yeah. It sucks because when I left, I forgot all about it, so I unplugged my DVR and my TV.
Oh.
Yep. So when I got back, I was like, I can't wait to watch this and watch that. And I also unplugged it during the Smallville finale, so I still have yet to even see that. So I gotta go look that up. But I did end up catching it.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, I'm coming around to Antonio.
I love him.
I still don't like his showboatism, but I get that's part of his character.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not so much as a douchebag as I thought he was in his introductory episode.
Yeah, he just wants everybody to like him, and that's why I think he's trying. That, you know, that's his character. I think he's doing, I mean, he's doing a way better, you know, and it's probably the director's, again, once I come back to that, but he's doing a way better job of portraying his character than Kevin. You know, just Kevin is so lame and boring to me. It's just like, I don't even want you on the screen.
Well, see, the thing with Kevin, though, is, like, with that episode recently, that the one where Kevin's like, oh, Antonio sucks because he's not true samurai, blah, 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 blah. And then Antonio tries to follow him around, blah, 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 and all this and that, all that. Kevin he's a highly traditional type.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. It's a good way to get that kind of characterization from someone as far as the team aspect of it. But, yeah, I could care less for Kevin.
Yeah, I thought that was an awesome episode, though, when he was like, follow him, and he's like, did you hear that, Antonio? And he's like, yeah. Wait, what? How'd you know I was following you? But, yeah, I like him. I really, really like him. I like where they're going with it. I like the Claw Zord. I really did like the Claw Zord. That was awesome. But did you get to watch this week's episode?
I don't think I did. I'll have to catch up on it. And by the time this episode of FTCC airs, we will have plenty more to talk. Because we're doing this podcast monthly, We're going to have a crap ton of stuff to talk about over the next few weeks or so with all the new episodes. I always, half the time I forget.
Yeah.
And really, and it's because of the day change. It's because of the from Sunday to Saturday thing that screwed me up. And I know now, okay, Saturday's the day and that's fine. I had a whole ritual on Sunday when this show premiered. I was like, okay, cool. I can wake up at 11:30, do whatever I have to do, you know, get ready, brush teeth, whatever. And 12 o'clock, I can watch Samurai, and then I have 3 hours until I have to do a podcast record at 3:30. So I'm like, all right, cool. I can, you know, I've got a Sunday ritual now.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went ahead and changed it to Saturday. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yes, they're good at that stuff like that.
Bleep. What? Sorry.
Yeah, bleep. Yeah, they're good. They're good at stuff like that.
Yeah. So, the reason why we split up Mighty Morphin Alien Rangers and Season 3 was because Scotty was going on vacation and he didn't have enough time between getting ready for vacation and recording Episode 4 to watch all of Season 3. Because I know that this was a separate Sentai. I don't see this as separate from MMPR. This is a 10-episode block.
Yep.
Because if you look at what's the episode that ended before the Alien Rangers came? What's the name of that stupid episode?
Rangers Reverse.
Rangers in Reverse.
Right.
That is not a season ender. It just isn't. It's just, oh my god, we have this new storyline. That's almost like a whole start of the new storyline.
Yeah.
But because of your scheduling and all that, we're splitting it up.
Right. Well, and plus a lot of people look at Mighty Morphin Alien Rangers as season 4 or maybe season 3.5. You know what I mean? So, and they, you know, we could have tacked on a half an hour.
Yeah.
You know, but
you know, it's okay. It's all right. But yeah. Basically, like I was saying, this is basically just a continuation of last episode, season 3. The miniseries began on February 5th, 1996, and follows the group of preteens who were previously teenagers chosen by the wise sage Zordon to become Power Rangers in order to stop the forces of evil from taking over the planet. Alongside a set of extraterrestrials who are Power Rangers and on another planet. It is the first of the Power Rangers episodes to utilize full footage from Ninja Sentai Kakuranger to represent the new Alien Rangers. Regular cast members include Julia Jordan, Matthew Sakamoto, Sicily, Michael J. Olasky II, Michael R. Gatto, Justin Timsit, Rajab. Yeah, half these names I'm gonna just.
And why is there 50 of them when there was 5 Rangers?
Three,
4, 5, 6. Are these like the kids as well?
That could be it.
Yeah, I think David Bacon was one of the kids.
Yeah.
Hopefully it wasn't Baby Mullet Rocky, because I wouldn't want to be that person.
Yeah, these other ones are the kids. They have to be, because they list, when they start listing them, and at the end of it says, and David Yost, because...
Yep, because there's 10 here, so there's...
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, five Alien Rangers and 5 preteens. What did you think when you first, like, going from Rangers in Reverse to this, what did you think? I mean, what are your general memories of this part of the season?
I was super excited, just because... I don't know how this is going to sound, but I was kind of finally excited to see a chick be like their leader. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I really, really did like them. I had their toys. I'm sure I've said this before, but I ended up selling those 5 figures, and they are extremely rare. So I need to get those back, because I want them back now. But, I did have their toys. And that also added, but their outfits are magnificent. I love their costumes.
Yeah. I don't know. I think we're going to, you know, have a dividing line here. It's kind of like one of those, you know, the line is drawn here things, because I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum.
Are you talking now or are you talking then?
No, I'm talking now. Well, I'm talking, like, just in general. Like, back then, like I said before, I don't even remember the Alien Rangers stuff. I didn't remember
that's right.
Until I started watching it, you know, about a month and a half ago now. But now it's like going back and watching it, I don't know. Like, I like the characterization of, even though some of the kids that they got to play the Rangers were kind of meh, mm-hmm. I like the characterization of how they went from Rangers in Reverse to this, so they're actually telling a story of quests
right.
for each of the Rangers yeah. to get the Zeo Crystal and
except
all that stuff.
Except for Aisha, because that wasn't a quest at all. That was stupid.
Well, the only reason why you say it was stupid is because she left the show.
Well, plus, like, Tommy's, like, he met, like, you know, old tree heart, you know, Tonto in the mountains, and he had to follow his Indian spirit and clear his mind. And Kat, like, met two different versions of herself, and she had to choose, you know, she had to give up her going after the crystal to help this elderly lady, which ended up, you know, making her a pure-hearted woman or a girl to get this crystal. And then it's like Aisha randomly ran into this chick behind this rock, met her grandmother within a minute and a half, and then she stays there to take care of the animals. That's not a quest. I don't know what kind of quest you go on. That's not a quest. But yes, I am sad that she was off the show, but I definitely like her quest the least. You know, because everybody had to do something for the crystal, and she yeah. like she was like, "Oh, my mom said something about you," and she was like, "Yep, you're home," and everybody's okay with that. And then she goes, "Oh, and here's this crystal." You know, how convenient.
I will agree that it is a very convenient plot device, but it was a very interesting way to introduce Tanya. To introduce somebody new to take over for a like, we've had Ranger takeovers since season one,
uh-huh.
you know, and the power or season two, whatever the hell it was, I don't know, whatever
season two,
yeah, something like that. The power transfer was interesting because we got a whole story behind Adam, Rocky, and Aisha coming in, and then you have the whole Kimberly Cat thing that was interesting. Even though it was a reused plot from Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
And with this, again, I find it interesting as a way of, and I have to keep going back to this. Thank God television doesn't do what the soaps do, because the soap operas will have the exact same character and they'll go, "Oh, the character of so-and-so is now being played by," and they'll just replace actors.
Yeah, that's true.
I hate that in television, but I'm glad. Yeah, Aisha's quest might have been stupid, but at least it had something to do with her, and it wasn't just, "Oh, you're supposed to be here because you're the chosen one." It was, "You're supposed to be here because you're the chosen one, and this is your family." You know, that I can kind of overlook it. I don't know, but I think it was a nice way to get Tanya introduced.
I think the writers were on lunch, and somebody was messing with somebody else, and they hurried and put that script in there. And they accidentally went with it because it was ridiculous. they're like, "Oh, you're some random lady sitting on a rock. And my mom talked about you. You're clearly my grandma." That's exactly how I met my grandma. I don't know. You know, when I was like 13, that's how I met my grandma. She was sitting on a rock by a fireplace and she was like, "I'm your grandma."
Oh my God.
Yeah, exactly.
Now the Alien Rangers themselves, yes, I will agree with you, it was nice to have a female leader, and we will not get that again until Time Force. I'm trying to think. I guess in Lightspeed Rescue, Dana was kind of she wasn't really a leader, but since she was the boss's daughter, I guess you can get
her. She's like Alpha, right?
Huh?
She was like Alpha. She wasn't really like their leader.
What, Dana?
Yeah. From what I understood.
See, Dana was the fifth Ranger.
Oh, was she?
Yeah, Dana was the fifth Lightspeed Ranger. She was the pink Lightspeed Ranger. She was Captain Mitchell's daughter.
Who was like the robot chick with like the short hair? What season was she in?
The robot chick with short hair.
Yeah, what am I talking about here? Hold on, let me think. Oh, you know what I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of Jason X. Remember that robot chick? Have you ever seen
the? You mean Jason X the movie?
Yeah, Jason X the movie. Like that. I don't know why, in God's name, I confused Jason X the movie
with Power Rangers.
Lightspeed. Well, because I haven't seen any of those. And it just
right, no, I know. I mean, and that's the beauty of this podcast is you're going to be able to go back and you know, educate yourself.
Yeah, no joke.
But
no, you know what? There is a chick. It's maybe it's not. It's what the heck was it? What's the blonde hair? What's the Silver Ranger? What's he in?
Silver Ranger was in Lightspeed Rescue. That's Ryan. That's Dana's brother. The chick you might be thinking of
is his sister. Who's his sister?
Dana, but she's not a robot.
Well, but she has dark hair.
No.
At the very end.
Dana's a blonde.
After he turns her back into whoever, she has dark hair, right?
No.
You sure?
Oh, I know what you're thinking about. You're thinking about freaking Andros and Astronema.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
That chick looks like the chick from Jason X.
Okay, yeah, no. I'm not
five, right? She's like a
right. Yeah, that was Power Rangers in Space. I'm talking about Lightspeed Rescue.
Okay, see, I know the difference in them.
That's we'll get to that. I don't even remember what the hell my point was here. Oh, the female leadership.
Oh yeah.
We won't get another one until we see at the end of SPD. The A squad for SPD is there's a female Red Ranger, female leader. I don't care for the Alien Rangers.
You're crazy.
I don't care. The costumes are great. The actual Power Rangers costumes are great. I don't care for their character designs.
Yeah, they do have a couple flaws, like the way they move around like robots. Like you're not a robot. You're like an Aquaman. Aquaman doesn't move around like a robot. Because, like, the way they're, like, juking their head and, like, you know, kind of, like, always looking confused, like, you know, you're supposed to be an alien. You're not a retard. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know if it was a vocoder or some sort of, like, synthesizer on their voices. I hated that.
Okay. Yeah, there is definitely a line because I liked it.
It sounded so god awful. It sounded like they were gargling water.
Right, and that was the point of that. I'm not going to say it would be ruined if they didn't talk like that, but it was okay because it was different. You know what I mean? And you could only really tell it on her. Everybody else wasn't as bad as she was, but
yeah,
on her it was definitely the worst on her.
And chalk up the MMPR, MMAR theme to another thing. One of the themes I do not like. I do not like them saying Mighty Morphin Alien Rangers and then Go Go Power. I didn't like that change. Like, I get it. It's supposed to be a different plot line in the story of Mighty Morphin, but I just, God, theme song. Oh, it sucked.
Well, yeah, once again, I liked it.
It sucked.
I did like it just because it's the same exact thing, except for now it's the Alien Ranger show, so they switched it.
Sucked. Oh, God. It just, oh, okay. So, did we ever see, I don't know if it's me just wanting to block this whole thing out about the Alien Rangers as far as the... Like I said, I like the plot line with getting the Zeo Crystal back together, and I like seeing the real Rangers do stuff.
Uh-huh.
But did we actually see the Beetleborg Zords or whatever the hell it was supposed to be, or
yeah.
No?
Yeah, yeah, they fought a couple different times, but most of the time what happened was they would call the Beetleborgs and... You know, they would fight for a while because they were also, they never rode in the Beetleborgs. They were always fighting on the ground, like, I don't know, kind of like, the new Xbox 360 Kinect, you know, where it's like, you're just fighting the sky and, mm-hmm. and that, you know, it's pretty much like, you know, that's how they would fight with their Zords. And most of the time they would just go, this ain't working out too well. We need Shogun Zord power. And they were just called the Shogun Zord and
see, that's why I don't really remember the actual Alien Ranger Zords. So, like, do you have a favorite? Because I don't.
I still have the White Zord. Now, those Zords They also sold those, and they were probably about 6 inches or 7 inches, and those are really rare too. But yeah, I mean, I wish, and this is going to be a little bit different. I'm glad the White Ranger was the leader and a chick, but I wish her Zord wasn't a chick Zord, because I just feel like that's a chick Zord because she's a chick, and it looks so awesome, and I love it. But that's like, damn it, it's a chick Zord. Chick Zords are not awesome. So I'm not a sexist by any means. You know what I mean? I just told you that I finally like that there was a chick leader. I just can't picture badasses being people with skirts on.
Well, I mean, unless you're talking about Chun-Li, but that's a completely different podcast.
Yes, yes it is.
I will agree with you to a certain extent. The only thing that I will bring up is that even though Trini back in season one wasn't really a badass, she had a kick-ass Zord. That saber-toothed tiger, that was awesome.
That's true. That is very true. Sometimes I don't think about stuff like that. So I definitely agree that I loved the saber-toothed tiger.
Any other general thoughts or thoughts on the characters before we kick it off to Spada?
Not really. I mean, we could talk about some stuff when we get back, but not so much. Did I mention that I didn't like the little Kid Rocky's mullet? I don't know if I've said anything about that yet. But yeah,
the kids were like, I think the only two kids I actually liked and thought was okay representations of the actual regular actors. I thought the one for Aisha was good, and I thought the one for Tommy was good.
Right.
The rest of them, meh.
Mm. Yep.
So we're going to send it over to Spada for the Mighty Morphin Alien Rangers Cocker Ranger Sentai info. This is where he gets more in-depth this time around with the actual story, whereas last time he just talked about the Zords and the weapons. So take it away, Spada.
Hey, gang. Spada the Bolt Matrix here, and this time we are taking a look at the rest of Ninja Sentai Cocker Ranger. Last time we spoke about the Zords, Ninja Men, and a little bit about the villains, and that was about it since nothing else from the Sentai series was brought over into Power Rangers Season 3. The Alien Ranger saga, however, is a little bit different. This is where all the interesting stuff happens, so let's take a look. We're going to start off with taking a look at the premise of Cocker Ranger. 400 years ago, the ninja and the yukai had a war. At the end of the war, 5 great ninjas captured the yukai general, name that I'm not sure I can actually pronounce, so here goes. Nurai Hion. It's also important to note that this guy is never seen again after the first episode. So, using their ninja powers, the commander and all his dark energies were contained by the sealed door. In modern times, 2 of the descendants of those 5 ninjas were tricked into opening the sealed door by the last yukai. Those 2 are then joined by 3 other descendants to form the Cocker Ranger. So what we're getting here is another ancient evil gets released, and there we go, is the rest of the series. So let's take a look at the yukai. The yukai are similar to the Japanese demons of lore. The yokai. The difference in the spelling is yukai is y-o-u-k-a-i, and yokai is y-o-k-a-i. Each yukai is based on one of these demons. Cocker Ranger is also the series that gave us Rito Revolto, as I mentioned earlier. He is based on an ancient giant skeleton that is 15 people tall, and if you walked by it, it would reach down and bite your head off. No, it didn't have a guitar or an army helmet or a backpack. I'm not sure where that comes from. But it's interesting to see that they're taking the designers, specifically Bandai, took the original Japanese ideas and incorporated them. It's actually pretty cool, I think. There is an overall theme of family obligation and Bushido running throughout the series, though. It's displayed by not only the heroes, but also the villains, and not subtly at all. The concepts of loyalty and honor are practically hard-coded into most of the characters. For example, the White Ranger's father is evil simply because he owes a debt to one of the yukai generals. He's working to defeat them from the inside, but he can't because he still serves the yukai because of this debt obligation. His honor code won't let him walk away or simply get rid of the guy. These are concepts that just don't work here in the U.S., and I'm really glad that this wasn't brought over. I understand what the Japanese series is going for. But here in the U.S. and in a lot of the Western world, it just won't fly. It doesn't make any sense to any of us. The ninja theme continues into the Cocker Rangers' costumes, vehicles, and weapons. The costumes are brightly colored spandex versions of the iconic ninja outfit. Look at the Alien Rangers. That's the Cocker Ranger outfits. You're not going to get anything different. I actually like them, and as a kid, when I watched the series, it never made any sense to me why aquatic-based aliens would wind up with those outfits. Now, what does make sense is their vehicles, which are called the Shark Cycles. There's the Yellow Shark Slider, a Sawtooth Shark, the Blue Shark Launcher, a Hammerhead Shark, and the Red Shark Bleeder, a Great White Shark. The Yellow and Blue Bikes have sidecars where the Ninja Black and Ninja White can ride. And then the three Shark Cycles can combine in a weird fashion to do a finishing move called the Shark Diver. Now, each Cocker Ranger also carries four standard pieces of equipment. The Doron Changer, which is the morpher of the series and contains the Ninja Coins, which did make it into the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. The Kakure Maru, a short sword passed down to each ranger, and that's their primary weapon. The next is a handheld blaster that transforms into a dagger. And finally, there's the Shinobi Knuckle, and we'll get into that in a minute. The series also follows the tradition of each ranger having their own personal weapon. Ninja Red has a giant throwing disc called the Red Slicer. Ninja Black has a crossbow called the Black Bow. Ninja Blue has a water gun called the Blue Shot. Ninja Yellow has a claw that doubles as a hook shot called the Yellow Claw. And finally, Ninja White has a short, forked spear called the White Break. I've tried to find a better name of what it could be called, but I haven't been able to find anything of what it resembles in real life. Now, also, each weapon contains a little shuriken, or a throwing star, in the shape of the individual ranger's symbol. It's a really neat touch. The last weapon is a large metal rugby ball that is passed around to each ranger to gain power and then is kicked at the enemy to destroy it. Okay, then. Now, going back to the Shinobi Knuckle that I mentioned earlier, all of these weapons, all of the individual weapons, can be attached to the Shinobi Knuckle, which is a gauntlet worn over the character's left hand. It can be attached to gain power and new abilities. It's actually a pretty neat idea, and it's a great way to sell more toys. Something else that did make it over into Mighty Morphin Power Rangers from Cocker Ranger was the idea that the team leader was a woman. In Cocker Ranger, Ninja White is the leader for most of the series. This concept is seen again, specifically in Time Ranger, but it's interesting to point out since Super Sentai is basically a show made for boys. And you very, very rarely see a strong female character in a leader position. That, as far as I know, was the first time that ever happened in Sentai. Now, at the end of the series, the evil yokai were once again sealed, and a happy ending was had by all. But sadly, the viewership of Super Sentai was declining at a staggering rate. Bandai wasn't concerned with this series so much, but when the next series aired, they would have to take notice. Viewers complained that the series as a whole was pushing a doctrine that was old and out of date. Along with the Bushido Code, each series was starting to repeat itself. Old sealed evil, young heroes, a mentor rising, rinse and repeat. This was really starting to push viewers away. And that'll be discussed a little bit more next time on the Command Center when Chokiri Sentai O-Ranger is examined. So, once again, this has been Spade of the Bolt Matrix for the Command Center. Now back to the rest of the show.
You know, Mike, we're going to have to take him out to dinner or something. You know, I really appreciate what he does because he saves us a ton of time.
Yes, he saves us a ton of time. One problem with taking him out to dinner, you live in Illinois, I live in Kentucky, he lives in Maryland.
Oh, that's just a minor detail.
It's like you're the Triforce of Power, I'm the Triforce of Wisdom, and he's the Triforce of Courage. We're in three different areas.
Yep, and we'll meet right in the middle at a real nice restaurant, something maybe like McDonald's or Taco Bell.
Oh my God.
Wouldn't you love that? Thanks for all the work you've done for us. Here's a McDouble and a French fry. But no, I always enjoy listening to him, you know, I mean, I'm still probably going to go back eventually and watch the Sentai stuff, you know, the subbed versions, obviously, but it's nice to know what we're talking about, you know, in Sentai form, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's nice.
And he does a really good job. It just amazes me how different stuff, like I cannot wait until we get to some of the later stuff because it just amazes me how different, like when he first did Mighty Morphin Season 1 talking about the differences between Rita and...
Yeah, no doubt.
That just shocked me to all hell, and it's like, wow, I just cannot believe how much that can get translated from Sentai into what we have.
Yep, and the Green Ranger died. I'm like, really? Like, the candle ran out and he died. I'm like, you can't kill Asian Tommy. That ain't cool.
You can't kill Asian Tommy. Oh, my God.
That's not cool, dude. But he does good work. And I can't wait for, Zio. And if you guys listen to what Spada just talked about, he said something along the lines about this is a season where it started kind of to fall off because they've done the same thing over and over and over again. And I kind of felt that way when I was a kid, like, you know, come on, even with this, you know, the episodes pretty much being the same exact thing. But anyway, where are we at here?
Favorite episodes, just talking about the season in general, or not the season, the 10 episodes that ended season 3, in general. I honestly, like, I watched all the episodes for... I mainly watched them for the quests.
Right.
I think it's... I don't know if it's the biggest plot point or biggest plot hole in Power Rangers history or like, the worst, like, power/weakness. I'm sorry. Dehydration as a weakness?
Well, that's how, like, Aquaman is, isn't he?
Yeah, it is. But... It's one of those things where I don't know if this works for Power Rangers. I just don't know. And maybe it's me just not liking the Alien Ranger characters. I don't like nothing about this. These 10 episodes actually, like, oh, we have to call in reinforcements. Let's call these people from a planet of water where our planet is 97% water or whatever it is, or whatever Earth is. I'm not into, I don't do science class anymore. Damn it. But, you know, oh, look, let's call in these reinforcements, but let's just have them be our soldiers and they can fight for us because we're kids, and because we're kids, we're not able enough to power Zords, which I think was complete bullshit.
Well, they didn't have any of their powers. They took their powers.
Right. I know they took the powers, and that's fine.
And you have to have a power coin to be inside the Zords.
Yeah, that, okay, all right, but... Still, little plot devices that really, my main problem with the Alien Rangers themselves is the entire story focused on getting our Rangers back, getting the timeline, you know, it's like, oh, where's the DeLorean when you really need it? But my main problem with the Alien Rangers is no characterization other than, oh my God, without water, we'll die.
Yeah,
we're all beached whales.
Yeah, that's true. And they were hanging out in the empty pool, and little kid Tommy kept doing that same face where it's like, we need to get him some more water, and he kind of do that, like, that squinchy eye looking over the camera, sad face kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but my favorite episodes are going to be the Hydro Hog episodes, and I have something that sticks out in my mind. I didn't obviously remember it when I was little or anything, but going back and watching the episodes, mm-hmm. when the Hydro Hog shows up and they're fighting and he makes the Hydro Hog big, and they call out their battle borgs and the Hydro Hog's pretty much kicking the battle borgs' butts, and they're like, you know, we need Shogunzord power now. So they get the Shogunzord, they pull out the boom, they pull out the big the Shogun sword, like the flame. And they go to hit him, and the Hydro Hog just whoops his ass, and they're just like, well, that didn't work out too well. And they're even playing the music, like, you know, like, oh, here we go, here's the final slash, and the Hydro Hog's going to be dead. Well, it didn't work that way, and that's when that's when Billy said, well, how about I just use the Falcon Zord? And then they finally did defeat the Hydra Hog, but I thought it was awesome how they built up to that, you know, like, oh, here we go, here's the final hit, and then the Hydra Hog was like, nah, not yet, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of like a hot I don't want to keep going back to wrestling, but it's exactly like the hot tag. You know, you're ready to see the main guy come in and finish the job, and then the bad guy, you know, gets the attention of the ref or drags him back to the other side of the corner.
That's something I need to talk with Dirt about. Oh, God. I can't even go there because I'll go into a whole nother tangent about Mr. Money in the Bank.
Don't need to do that.
Yeah, no. This 10-episode arc, like, I like the overall story. Like I said, I like the quests. The quests were cool. But honestly, because it is, like, thank God, I don't think they did this every episode, but thank God they didn't put To Be Continued at every end of the single episodes like Along Came a Spider and Sowing the Seeds of Evil and all that. I don't think there is a two, from the ones I watched, there wasn't a To Be Continued at the end of each one of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's only in the two-parter that it has it. Hog Day Afternoon is my favorite. The rest of them are, I won't say they're filler because they're not. It is a 10-episode arc, and it is a full-on story to develop characters and all that, but I like the end.
Yeah, and I don't think, and I think there's probably, back then there's a lot of people that would agree with you that it was too new, too fast, you know, and I would think that, you know, if I think back and talking to my friends, a lot of people didn't like the Alien Rangers.
Yeah, well, you know, and I know they had to go off Sentai stuff, and that's fine, but, I mean, they could have found, I just wish the whole Aquitar thing, like, find some other planet to base them off of. I don't know, I didn't like that. Mm-hmm. I just didn't like the whole Aquitar thing. But before we move on to the music, we have to talk about Hog Day Afternoon. Oh my God, there is so much awesome in this two-parter.
Yeah, well, I talked about a little bit of it.
You know, Aisha's quest aside, the awesome parts for me was Goldar and Rito. They, as far as villains, they stole the show in this two-parter.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's,
they were Bulk and Skull.
Not yet.
Well, they were pretty goofy with that, like, that bomb. They're like, what's this do? Oops, I activated this bomb. And then Goldar was like, you stay here. I'm going to go get help.
Okay, and I agree. They are kind of like Bulk and Skull, but it's not so bad yet. Just yet. It doesn't get bad until we get to Zeo.
Yeah, and then it gets ridiculous.
Yeah, but my question is, like, okay, they're under the command center, there's all these catacombs, and they're like, oh, how do we get to the command center? They just walk down a random hallway, oh, there's a sign, command center this way. Yeah. Why the heck is there a command center this way sign in the catacombs, and it looks like it's a gold-plated or some sort of, you know, fake gold-plated sign or something like that? It looks like a plaque. And I'm like, oh my, are you serious?
Right.
They're really going to have a sign that says command center this way. You know, the other thing I think about is this, with Goldar and Rito in the catacombs, this alludes to Zeo. Because they said in Zeo, and we'll get to that once we get to Zeo next month, but they said that, you know, oh, this is our new underground thing. And when Goldar and Rito were down there, you see what I believe to be Alpha 4, the old Alpha, because there's an Alpha head in a box.
Is it really? I didn't pay that close attention to it.
Yeah, if you look, when they first get into the room, there's an Alpha robot broken up in a box that said, all the boxes say Command Center on them. Makes no sense. There's an Alpha head in the box. But yeah, there's an Alpha head in the box. There is what looks to be Command Center towers like, you know, the inside of the power chamber and how it has the blue pole things. There's those. There's a whole bunch of just, like, if you, it's kind of like if you know, blink and you miss it, but if you just really pay attention to it, it's really cool. But I kind of like the whole bungling of Goldar and Rito. I like honestly, I like the ending because you just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Command center go boom.
Yeah.
This was the first time it exploded, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Something else happened to it. What else happened to it? I guess maybe I'm thinking of the movie when Ivan Ooze went there. There was a few times that, you know, Tommy went in there and destroyed it once.
But I'm talking about this is the first time it actually
explodes.
Blew up and just it blew up and it was gone. Like when Tommy destroyed it, it was still standing. It wasn't
the insides. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
What else did you like about Hog Day Afternoon?
Well, you know, I just talked about that scene from Hog Day, which was awesome, but I don't know. I guess that's pretty much it. I didn't like how they accepted Tanya so fast. You know what I mean? It was kind of just like, hey, here's Tanya. Oh, hey, what's up? Cool. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, it's one of those things where it had to be a fast transition.
That's a little ridiculous, though. You know, like when the other people left, Kimberly was crying and she was sad to see him go. And when Kimberly left, you know, everybody was crying and people, Tommy didn't want to see her go. And then it's like, who's Aisha? Oh, yeah, whatever. You know?
That's the other thing. I have to talk about this. I know we talked about it last time a little bit because that was when we talked about the other part of season 3 with Kimberly leaving. Mm. I still, like, this whole, like, it's so weird what the writers did with this series, because you have Tommy in the beginning, you have Kimberly in the beginning, Tommy goes evil, all that good stuff. We're together now, but you don't ever actually see, like, a relationship episode with them. Oh, what are you doing this Friday? Let's all go hang. It's more so let's all go hang out. But they were, Kimberly and Tommy did date, mm-hmm. I'm assuming. And then they bring Kat in, and Kat wants to steal him and all that. The same old Tommy plot line. Kat goes good. Kimberly leaves. And now supposedly Tommy and Kat are supposed to have some sort of relationship. But then, oh, wait, let's not explore that. Let's turn back time and make them all children.
Mm. After the Christmas episode.
Yeah, exactly.
They threw that Christmas episode in there, too.
Yep. I just, like, I love Tommy's character development on his own, but his relationships were severely lacking as far as character development.
Maybe his, like, mom and dad didn't hug him enough when he was little, so he's just not, he's not fluid in his, you know, in his self-consciousness.
That's funny. That's funny. All right, so moving on to the music. It's, you know, I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but I will. It's the same music, other than the fact that they changed one word in the theme song.
Very clever.
very effing stupid is what it was. Seriously, when I first saw that, when I first watched Alien Rangers of Alquitar, and I'm like, oh, okay, cool. We just get a new title sequence as far as the images. I'm like, all right, that's cool. I can deal with that. And it's like, Mighty Marvin Alien Rangers. Like, what the hell did they do to my Power Rangers theme song? Damn it.
Yeah, the only reason I'll agree with you is because they were still technically Power Rangers.
I know.
So they didn't really have to change it. They just did it, you know.
Probably they did it to fit the theme of the 10 episodes, and I get that. Right. I just, it's not like my most hated Power Rangers theme song, but it's up there. I would say if I had like a top 5 of worst Rangers theme songs ever, it would probably be like an honorable mention. I mean, it's not that bad.
Right.
But still, it just, it so took me out of the season. It just so did. I mean, yes, the story was great as far as, like I said before, story was great as far as these 10 episodes. But the whole point of television back then, and I said this in a recent episode of the telecast that Kevin Optimus Solo Thompson and I recorded, the whole point of television back then was, it's not like today where you have prologue, and then the intro, and then the actual episode. Back then, when you, like, say you're, this is the only example I can think of, say you're seeing the final production credit, like a production company thing, like 20th Century Fox or whatever, like a show has ended, like The Simpsons. The Simpsons has ended, okay? The next show comes up. The first thing you used to see was the introduction to the show, theme song, all that stuff, and it got you pumped up to watch the show.
Mm-hmm.
With this theme song, I was not pumped up to watch these 10 episodes. Right. I just wasn't.
Well, plus, they always did last time on the Power Rangers.
Yeah, they spent a little too long on the last time things.
Yeah.
And again, as I said before, just kind of going into the legacy and stuff, again, there are best of Power Rangers DVDs out there. I hope somehow Saban has rights to DVD releases and starts releasing seasons on, like, actual seasons on DVD, not just like, oh, here's a 10-episode best of, here's a 33-episode, you know, this whole best of crap has to stop.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about were there actual Alien Ranger toys? I mean, yeah. I know you said there were Zords, but were there actual, like, action figures for the actual Alien Rangers?
Sometimes I wonder if you listen to me when I speak. Yes, I did talk about that. I actually had them. They were really rare because, again, no one really liked the Alien Rangers too much back then. I had all 5 of them. Someone offered me a crazy price, and I was like, yes, I have to do that. That's also when I thought I was getting out of
toy collecting,
you know. But and then I started doing the show, and I was like, man, I got to get that stuff back. So I pretty much have everything back except for those, and I'm actually in talks with a guy that has them. He's actually the same guy that I got my SH Figure Arts figure from. So hopefully.
And yes, I did hear you earlier, but what I meant was as far as actual action figures was, were they like... Did they have versions of them in the suits and out of the suits, or was it just...
No, nope, they just said they had one of each, and they were in their ninja suits, and they came with a gold sword and a gold gun, and that was it. And they were on crappy packages. They were like the blister card. They were very cheap figures, but they are extremely rare. If you look up one right now, and he's in package... One, you're not getting one under $100.
Wow.
Yeah, so to get the whole set on card, you'd have to spend $500, no doubt.
Wow.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's very, very interesting. All right, so I think we're going to go to some ads from both Pop Culture Network and the Geekcast Radio Network, and we will be back with the outro.
Cool.
And now, here are your ads from the Geekcast Radio Network.
Movie Week in Review is the Geekcast Radio Network's weekly movie podcast. Steve and Mike take a look back on their favorite films and give you their thoughts. They also bring in co-hosts at times. If you are a movie buff, listen to MWire only on geekcastradio.com.
Emerging from the dark humor that was the Beast Unleashed podcast, Steve Megatron, TFGO and Mike, and Pecan Court Michael move on to Transformers Animated, coming June 26, 2011, Transformation Animation Podcast. 15 podcast episodes covering all 3 seasons of Transformers Animated and the awesome toy line as well. We will also have cast and crew interviews, so get tapped this summer with the Geekcast Radio Network's next Transformers franchise podcast, Transformation Animation Podcast.
Decepticons, transform and rise up!
Do you like retro shows? Did you grow up in either the 80s or the 90s? Then tune into Telecast, GeekCastRadio.com's newest podcast. Join us here on the Telecast as we revisit some of your favorite shows, such as Clarissa Explains It All, Salute Your Shorts, Saved by the Bell, and much, much more, only on GeekCastRadio.com.
And here are some ads from our collaborators, the Pop Culture Network.
Hey guys, I'm Rob Bass, and if you love toys, come check out my show, Not Mitten Box, every Tuesday on the Pop Culture Network.
What it is, friends. Sween Hollick here, inviting you to join me every Monday for Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk. What's that, you ask? Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk is my weekly video series in which we take a look at my favorite toy line of yesteryear, Vintage Playmates Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. If you're a green teen goer, I'm betting you'll have a great time getting reacquainted with old friends or meeting new ones for the first time. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk at www.radicalretro.com, part of the Pop Culture Network.
You're listening to a podcast on PopCultureNetwork.com. Be sure to head on over to the site at www.PopCultureNetwork.com to check out more podcasts and videos featuring toys, comic books, video games, and all the things you love. And while you're there, be sure to check out the Pop Culture Network store, where everything you purchase helps to keep us producing. Just head over to PopCultureNetwork.com and click on Store.
We are back, and yes, those were some very nice promotional materials from both GCRN and PCN. PCN needs to get on some new promotional stuff, but that's okay.
the same stuff we've had forever.
Well, the Rob Bass ad, the Sween Hallick ad, Dan talking about It Figures, I think. I don't know. I don't remember.
and buying stuff at our store.
Yeah.
Helps support us.
Yes. So, from the Command Center, the video series is going into Season 2. What have you got planned for us for Season 2?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't know until like the week or two before. But this week is going to be Zio action figures. I know Zio obviously isn't Season 2 in the Mighty Morphin, but the Zio theme song is, I don't know, extremely awesome. I love that. I mean, I even have that theme song, like, in my iPod. Like, I listen to it like a normal song. You know what I mean? I love that song. So, I couldn't wait to do a Season 2, you know, with that theme song. So, the first episode is going to be Zio, and then if I get those Alien Rangers, they'll definitely be in Season 2. And then I'm going to have to get some other, like, SPD stuff and stuff like that, because there's been just too many requests for that stuff.
I'm still waiting on you to do the Ninja Mega Falcon Zord, damn it. You still have not done Falcon Zord.
You're right. That is a correct statement. Maybe we'll have a...
I don't even care if you do it in conjunction with the Ninja Megazord. I just want you to do Falcon Zord.
Maybe that's right around the corner.
So thank you for joining us here on From the Command Center. There are several ways to get in contact with us. Leave feedback for the show. Visit the network websites, geekcastradio.com and popculturenetwork.com. Join the forums over at Pop Culture Network and Geekcast Radio Network. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. I checked it. We still only have that one review. Thank you to the person that left that review. I don't remember your username off the top of my head. But yes, please leave us reviews in iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter, TFGM Mike is mine. You can follow at Pop Culture Net and at Geekcast Radio. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network and you can just search out popculturenetwork.com for them. You can find PCN on YouTube. It's youtube.com/user/Mandalorian30 where you can find the award-winning series From the Command Center, which is entering its second season.
Sweet.
Yep. Call the voicemail lines. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. For GCRN, call 502-526-5821. Again, for those of you fans who want to actually be on the show, this is the best way for you to do it. So give us a call. You can call PCN at 217-953-4025. We hope you enjoyed this episode of From the Command Center and wish you'll join us next time when we will be continuing Power Rangers talk with Power Rangers Zio.
I can't wait.
For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Scotty Cash.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
this could be the end of the Power Rangers.